Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and give me an amen once you are there. Father, we thank you again this morning for the greatness that you are. You are the Holy One of Israel, the maker of heaven and earth. You are the one true living God. There are no other gods but you. Father, we are so grateful that we have come in the name of your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. But it didn't end there. On the third day, you raised him from the dead, and he's at your right hand, even now interceding for us. It is Jesus who helps us to learn. It is Jesus who intercedes so that we would receive. I think of how many times he said, if you have ears to hear, then hear. So I pray this morning that we would have ears to hear. Give us open hearts, Lord. Guide my steps, guide my words. For without you, I can do nothing. May it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As you know, Paul is ministering to this church that he planted 4 years prior. The Corinthians were rich in their spiritual gifts, in knowledge, but they were lacking. They were lacking. They were a very prideful bunch. And so Paul, in his love for them, the Lord, through Paul, is ministering to them to be humble, to be loving. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John the Beloved, in his epistle, would say this in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The word there for hate is meseo in Greek, which means to detest, especially to persecute, by extension, to love less, to be hateful. That's what it means. The Corinthian church thought they had it going on spiritually. They knew something about ministry. They knew something about the Word of God. They had the spiritual gifts. But within their midst, there was a brother who was living in sexual immorality, and yet they were unwilling to do anything about it. It was perverse immorality. He was sleeping with his stepmother, his father's wife. And their apathy towards it, their indifference, right? Neither here nor there, they're not going to do anything about it, proved their pride. Rather than to help my brother out, who's losing it, out of his mind in sin, I'm just going to care about me, myself, and I. And that's a problem for the church, because God cannot work within a church. A church cannot grow unless love abounds. Love amongst the brethren. He calls us, if we see something, we see a brother or sister in sin, to love them enough to warn them. Without a doubt, that's what we're called to do. To not do so is a hateful action. I think about way back in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel, remember? When Cain killed his brother Abel, the Lord said to Cain,
Where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The scriptures tell us that we are absolutely each other's keeper. God watches how we care for one another. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, God says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. The Corinthian church was in danger of having blood on their hands if they don't warn this guy to repent, to cut him off, which is exactly what Paul says here, that anyone named a brother who is, right, among you, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, he says, don't even eat with them. Don't even eat with them. Now, I will add to that a divisive person. God hates those who cause division amongst the family of God. We are told in Romans 16 and in other places, warn them, admonish them after the second time. If they won't repent, show them the door. So the loving thing for the church to do when it comes to unrepented practicing sin from the brethren is to kick them out, expel them from the church. That is the love of Christ our Lord. That isn't my word. That is from God. We've had to do it more than a few times in our history, and it's a beautiful thing in the sense where the body gets to learn, the leadership gets to know how God calls his church to love each other enough to deal with the divisive person, the brother or sister who's practicing sin. And that's why last week we dealt with grandparents and parents and, you know, don't awaken love. Guys, we're to flee sexual immorality because it leads to damnation if they fornicate and are stuck in that lifestyle. We have to guard our families. I'm not being old-fashioned. I'm being biblical. Don't awaken love until it's time. When they're married, they can have a blast. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, it says, blessed are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The church was being unloving because they would not address this man. And Paul rebuked them. And here in verse 1, we have something similar. It still has to do with love, but here it says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against his brother, and that before non-believers or unbelievers. And so here, they're not dealing with the brother who's in sexual immorality, but my goodness, if there's a misunderstanding, the Corinthian church was going from nothing, from zero to 100. They were taking drastic measures over small beefs, small things. Small misunderstandings were not being dealt with amongst the brothers lovingly. They were dragging each other to the worldly courts, guys. Where God has called his church and God calls the brethren to practice peace and understanding, to communicate with one another, to love one another, and to deal with problems when they come up because the enemy wants to divide his church. He wants to separate churches the way he wants to separate marriages, the way he wants to separate parents from their children today. He is a separator. But God calls us to endeavor to keep the unity of the brethren. And endeavor means to fight for it, to not be complacent with it, to not think it's just going to happen. The Bible says he who is friendly must himself be friendly. Jesus calls us to deal with issues amongst ourselves in the love of Christ. We cannot do it in our own love because we don't have it. Jesus ever lives to intercede. That means that he prays to the Father. The grace that is needed for Ryan to love, for you guys to love, Father, give it to them in my name. Give them that love so that they can talk things out. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, this is what our Lord and King says. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 24, our King, Jesus Christ, says to his church, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And so Jesus said, pause on the religiosity. Pause on the ministry. Pause on what you think is spiritually right. You have beef with your brother, go speak to him. He doesn't say go speak to everybody else about what the problems are. He says, speak to your brother or to your sister what it is. Speak to them. It's God's way. God's way is the loving way. When I was thinking about them dragging their brethren to the courts, right? That's 0 to 100, right? They were making a molehill into a mountain, as they say. They're blowing things way out of proportion. It's really this big. No, it's not. Satan wants you to think it's that big. If you think about a marriage and a family, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees. They came testing him in Matthew 19. And they says, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? They were looking for a loophole to just throw her out, man. Making a mountain out of a molehill. The cooking wasn't what I thought it would be. You know, I thought she'd cook better. Well, our personalities clash. Listen, I married Clarissa. She's from Pretty World, Orange County. Comes from well-to-do family. I'm from the Vario. Okay, I wanted the girl from the other side of the tracks. Opposites attract, you know. But after the honeymoon, you're stuck with someone very different than you, personality-wise. And you think, oh, gosh, okay. This is her. Oh, gosh, I married Ryan. Peter said in his epistle, chapter 2, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're living stones. If you think about the temple stones in the old temple days, they were quarried outside of the of the Temple Mount, obviously, but there was no hammer to be heard. They were to be fashioned outside and then brought forth to the Temple Mount area. And they would set those stones together, and they were so smooth and they were so tight that one could not put a sword in between them. No space. The church has different personalities. Think about it. I'm dealing with maybe 200 adults, something like that. I don't know how many people we have. I don't count. But that's a lot of personalities, right? I have to remain flexible to the Lord concerning the various personalities, because I have to learn how to love through all of you and all of our differences, you see? And like those living stones, we rub each other wrong. Personalities that doesn't seem to fit. What do we say to God? Well, guess it didn't work. I'm out of here. I don't do that with my marriage. God doesn't want that with his family. And we have to work together and let those things grind out through communication, through peace, understanding, and love, which only comes from Christ. We don't go from 0 to 100, right? From nothing to the courthouse, dragging you there for little matters. We live in a time where people are running because of little matters. There's no patience. There's no long suffering. You know what long suffering is? Is when patience has hit its max, long suffering. And that's what we need in marriages, right? We can't say, oh, goodbye. That's it. Another argument. No, we're not going anywhere. The Lord brought us together for a reason. Talk things out. And how many husbands don't talk to their spouses at all? How many brothers and sisters don't speak to each other at all? Don't share their gripes, their feelings. They think that the way to go is the way they always have. They run, they go, they leave. There was a brother who shared with me at a men's breakfast one morning. And he said, man, God has brought me so far, Pastor. Back in the day when I was in the world, if anyone slighted me, if anyone hurt me in any way, I was gone. But now I've learned that's not right. I got to work with people, but I used to just cut people off. And I was so blessed at what he said. So blessed at how God had matured him. The Corinthian church, Paul is saying, dare any of you do this? Is that what Jesus meant before he went to the cross? Love each other as I have loved you. Bounce. I don't think so. 20 years of marriage. She ain't leaving me. But, Jesus does say, unless there's something major, sexual immorality, unrepented, leave and protect your home. Unrepented immorality in the church, kick them out. Divisiveness in the church, they talk smack about the leadership to everybody. They won't repent, kick them out. That's God's way. That's the loving thing to do. Love in the Bible looks different than the love they say to love. Their love allows evil. I'm just being kind and loving and letting them destroy everything in our society. The Lord is good. And he says to them, dare any of you having matter against another, you go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? The unrighteous. The Bible says that this world is under the sway of the devil. This world is under the influence of the devil. Why do we go to them for help? What do they know? They're spiritually undiscerning. The Bible says to wage war with wise counsel, to deal with things amongst the brethren with your pastor and the leadership and the help that God has placed there. It says here, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? We're going to judge angels one day. Our Lord and Savior, our King, Jesus Christ, is going to judge the world, the angels, all of them. And we're going to be by his side. We are one with Christ. We are there at the judgment. We are there as witnesses. That's a holy responsibility and job that we who believe in Christ are one day going to do. And God is saying, if you're going to have that holy responsibility in heaven, you're going to judge right there with the Lord, then shouldn't you handle these matters amongst yourselves more lovingly rather than drag each other to court, rather than do something drastic, blow things out of proportion and go from 0 to 100? We should. The fact that we're going to judge should change the way we live. We should live better and holy lives. He says, here, if, verse 4, if then you have judgments concerning the things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? And so the writing here is a bit confusing. The commentators say that what Paul is meaning here is that it is better to have the most least esteemed person who's born again in the church. Like the most simplest brother or sister, man, who they know Jesus, get them in here to judge this matter rather than a heathen judge. With all of his education and all of his smarts, because he's unregenerated. Get the simplest person in church. That brings me comfort, because my door is open. If any of you ever want to talk about a problem or counsels, not that I know anything, but God through me, we're all shocked at the stuff that comes through me. It's the Holy Spirit. It isn't me. But that door's never been shut. My friends have my phone numbers, and many brethren have used it, and we've talked things out. Others have not. Still have like dad issues or something. My spiritual father, speaking of dad issues, my spiritual father said in our premarital counseling, he said, listen, guys, there's two types of fighters. There's those who stand and fight and destroy everything, and there's those who run. Don't be either. You're stuck with each other. Learn to communicate. You have a Father in heaven who commands it and who will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to be different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, all right.
But brother goes to law against his brother, 0 to 100, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. And here Paul says, it is better to just lose out on whatever the beef is. The money. Lose out on the money. It's better to take a monetary loss than to take a spiritual loss, which is produced when two Christians go a fighting before a secular judge. I mean, like, I'm here to judge some of the smallest matters. Someone, like I said, like if Mario here T-bones you in the parking lot and takes off, and we find out it's Mario, you think I won't call Mario for you? Yeah. There's no need to get the authorities involved. God has given his church authority that some people do not respect, and that's a big problem. Jesus is the king of a kingdom. He's not a president or a vice president. He doesn't want our opinion on things. He says how things are, and we need to follow it. And then he says, no, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.